Today we celebrate the great feast of divine mercy, and I don't think I'm out of place to say that after the great high holy days, after Easter and Christmas and Pentecost, today's feast is one of the most important and one of the ones that our Lord Jesus himself desires us to proclaim most urgently in our world. That it's a relatively recent feast day in the history of the church. It was one that Pope St. John Paul II instituted. But the origins of it go back to the early 1930s, where our Lord Jesus appeared in a vision to Sister Faustina, imploring her to tell the world about his desire to bring forgiveness and healing to it. Why was and is that important? In the early 1930s, the world found itself recovering from the Great War, World War I, one of the most awful and most gruesome wars in the history of the human race. And though the world didn't know it, our Lord Jesus knew that the world was preparing itself for an even more awful war in World War II. And after that, it was preparing itself for the rise of atheism and communism in our world, which led to the slaughter of millions, and which led to the 20th century being the century of the greatest Christian persecution in the entire history of the human race. That there were more Christians killed for following Jesus in the 20th century than there were in any other century in our history because of the rise of atheistic communism and socialism. The world was preparing itself for the constant fear and anxiety of the Cold War. The world was preparing itself for the legalization of abortion, which led to the death of more innocents than both world wars and communism put together. That the world was in desperate, urgent need of God's mercy. Many people knew it. Many more would come to learn that. And so our Lord Jesus gave this feast day especially for the 20th and 21st centuries because, in the words of great theologians in the history of the church can't emphasize every teaching at the same level at the same time. There is a lot that we teach as Catholics. We can't focus on all of it at once. And so God himself will point out to us certain virtues or teachings that need particular emphasis for the sake of the world in which we find ourselves. And so in 1931, our Lord Jesus pointed directly to his desire for us to make his mercy known to the world. I've been blessed. It's a hard blessing, but I've been blessed in my time to have read a lot of accounts of Holocaust survivors, people who made it through the most awful miseries that the Second World War could throw at them and survived, and rather than bury themselves in bitterness, were able to find healing and forgiveness in Christ Jesus or in the God of the Jewish people. It's the same God, even though they don't admit that, but the same guy, that they've been able to find healing in spite of all of the hurt that was inflicted upon them and have been able to turn and forgive. And what a powerful testament that is, because they, more so than most of us, have a right to hold a grudge. And yet when they're able to witness forgiveness to us, that gives us, I think, it gives me at least, the courage to strive to live a life of mercy and forgiveness myself. Just last week, I was reading an account from a woman who was a Holocaust survivor who began going around and giving speeches on the very topic of forgiveness after the war. And a number of years later, she was giving a speech and was greeting the attendees afterward, as was her tradition. And she had a man come up to her that looked vaguely familiar. And then she realized, and her blood ran cold, that this man was one of the officers that ran the concentration camp where she had been imprisoned. He came up to her and he said, "Fraulein, that was a beautiful speech on forgiveness that you gave." He said, "I, since the war, have turned away from my selfishness and cruelty and found the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And I know God has forgiven me. But if you're willing, I would like to hear you, sister, say those words as well. "Do you forgive me, Fraulein?" And she said it took every fiber of her being not to slap him in the face or turn and walk away from him. But she said all of a sudden she felt such a deep outpouring of God's mercy in her heart. She felt suddenly moved by the Holy Spirit. She reached out, gave him a hug, and said, "I do forgive you, brother, as Jesus Christ forgives us both." And she said she has never in her entire life experienced God's mercy more than in that moment when she allowed herself to be a conduit of Jesus's mercy, where she allowed herself to witness God's mercy to somebody who did not deserve it. Because that's the true beauty of mercy, is it's offered to those who can't pay for it. Mercy's given to those who have no claim to it. If they have a claim to it, it's justice, not mercy. Mercy precisely reaches out in love and forgiveness to those who have no right to ask for it. And so too with the love of Jesus, that it's those survivors of the Holocaust who are able to forgive and give such powerful testimonies that witness to us what the love of Jesus himself looked like. And we see that in our gospel today, that John records that our Lord appears to the apostles a number of days after the resurrection now, or a number of days after the passion now. And what's the first thing that our Lord says to them? He appears in their midst and we're told he says, "Peace be with you." This is the same crowd of people that just a few days prior had betrayed him, turned their back on their friend, and denied Jesus, allowing him to go to his death with only one of his circle of friends present there at the cross. Every single other one left him, hung literally hanging out to dry. And yet, Jesus, who more so than most had every right to appear to them and rebuke them, discipline them, upbraid them for abandoning him, the very first words out of his mouth are, "Peace be with you." So it's no wonder we're told immediately after that that the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord, because that was probably not what they were expecting him to do. They were probably expecting to get reamed out. And Jesus says, "Peace be with you." That when we're able to forgive and extend love to those who don't deserve it, to those who have hurt us, we powerfully witness to the world what the love of Jesus looks like. And we bring people to him when we do that, because that's a love the world does not know. The world doesn't know mercy. It knows justice to some extent. It knows fairness. The world is hard-pressed to understand mercy. And so those testimonies of the survivors of the Holocaust, I find to be deeply inspiring witnesses to our Lord Jesus himself, whether those people were followers of his directly or not. And so, too, it brings us back to the feast, that when our Lord appeared to St. Faustina, that was the great commandment that in the burden that he placed on her shoulders, is he said, "I want my church to make my mercy known." First, specifically, like, I want you to tell people about my feast of divine mercy. I want you to have the images that I'm going to reveal to you put up on walls and churches and homes so that people can look at me and see a merciful God and see the love and the faith and the peace flowing forth from my heart for them. I want them to see those words, "Jesus, I trust in you," underneath my image. But generically, too, Jesus desired us to be instruments of his mercy, to bring forgiveness and healing and love to the places where it was not present. And with that, then, I want to draw this homily to what might seem like a slightly abrupt close. I'm going to ask you, because I have a few words to share after Mass, so in exchange for keeping my homily short, don't leave after communion. Stick around. I'm making a deal with you. Don't break your side of it. I want to close with one of my favorite prayers that I've ever found in my whole body of experience. And as a priest, I know a lot of prayers. It was a prayer that was found at Ravensbrück concentration camp when it was liberated. And the liberators, like almost all of the experiences that they share, were horrified at what they found. They had heard rumors of what was done in the concentration camps, but they simply could not believe that human beings would be so awful to one another. Even hardened soldiers were horrified by what they found and found it incomprehensible the cruelty that was inflicted there. And as they were clearing out this concentration camp, freeing those who were alive, trying to give a proper burial to those who were dead, trying to find some identifying paperwork on the dead so they could let their families know and at least put their fears to rest, they found in the pocket of a dead woman a small prayer that had been scrawled on a piece of paper. And it was a prayer that she offered. And one imagines there were a lot of prayers offered in the concentration camps. Also, no doubt, lots of blasphemies, but a lot of prayers. And people, I imagine, prayed for a lot of things. Courage, perseverance, peace of heart, joy in the midst of suffering. They probably prayed asking God to forgive them, to prepare them for their death, asking God to grant them freedom, which would be a reasonable prayer, asking God to bring justice in the world for the injustices that were committed against them. All of those are good prayers. None of those are what she prayed for. That this woman prayed for the officers at the camp, for their conversion and forgiveness. And so in the words of this simple, powerful prayer, which I think some days of my life I would find myself hard-pressed to offer with any honesty and integrity, this woman, I think, witnesses to us powerfully the love of Jesus Christ, whether she was a Christian or not. And so I want to conclude praying together that prayer of forgiveness that she offered on this Feast of Divine Mercy. And since it is a prayer, we'll begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, remember not only the men and women of goodwill, but also those of ill will. But do not remember all of the sufferings they have inflicted upon us. Instead, remember the fruits which we bore thanks to our suffering, our fellowship, our loyalty to one another, our humility, the courage, the generosity, the greatness of heart that has grown in us from this trouble. When our persecutors come to be judged by you, let all of these fruits that we have borne be their forgiveness. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.